remember those who requested prayer. Fred's had his PICC line put in. He's going next Friday for his PET scan, and then the 27th, they'll the consult on what they're going to do about his Hodgkin's disease. So remember him in your prayers, and remember the family also. And those doctors, they'll be able to balance this thing out between his cancer and his heart. That's what you want. So remember that. Remember the others who requested prayer also. How's Rain doing? Good. Glad to hear it. Glad to hear it. Okay, get your hymnals, Psalm of Grace hymnals, page 14. Wonderful, beautiful hymn. And can it be that I should gain an interest in my Savior's love?
Amazing. mine, alive in him, my living head, and clothed in righteousness divine. Bold I approach the eternal throne and claim the crown through Christ my own. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me?
After scripture reading and prayer, we'll sing hymn number 294 in your red hymnal. Colossians chapter 3, if you will, the title of my message is God's Elect. I'm going to read verses 1 through 13. My text will be from verses 12 and 13 this morning. It begins with the word if, which is argumentative, which means since. Since ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, for Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth: fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. For there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Let us pray. Our Father, we bless you and thank you for the truth that is the Word of God, that sets forth things as they are, that teach us, convict us, comfort us, constrain us, and cause us to look to Christ in all things. We thank you for the perfect sacrifice that he offered to you, Father, that you accepted on behalf of your chosen race. And you made it so that he who was made to be sin, though he knew no sin, did so that we might be made the very righteousness of God. In fact, wonder of wonders, you have made him to be unto us righteousness. The Lord is our righteousness. We have none of our own. We claim none of our own. And we're embarrassed by our own self-righteousness. And we repent of it. But we are thankful that us standing before you never had anything to do with our doing or undoing, but had to do with the work of Jesus Christ. We pray, Father, for those who are sick and going through trials. Pray for Brother Fred as he's awaiting these different procedures that he must go through before he begins treatment. We ask, Lord, you'd be with him and Arlene and the rest of the families they minister to him. And Father, we pray you'd be those doctors. Give them great skill and understanding. We continue to pray for Dee Parks, for his healing, that you'd help him, help those who are with him. pray for ourselves this morning as we've gathered here, that you might be pleased to give us understanding. Teach us, admonish us. Speak to our hearts this morning through your word. Cause us to catch a glimpse of him to whom we're to look, to see, set our affections on things above, not on things of the earth, where Christ is, who sits at the right hand of the Father, waiting upon him, for when he shall appear, we shall appear with him also in glory. Help us, Lord, to think on these things and cherish them and embrace them. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Hymn number 294.
Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tender care. In thy pleasant pastures, lead us. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us, thine we are. Blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us, thine we are. We are thine, do thou be blessed Jesus, hear, O hear us when we pray. Blessed Jesus, hear, O hear us when we pray. Thou hast promised to receive us, poor and sinful though we be. Thou hast mercy to relieve us, grace to cleanse and power to free. Blessed Jesus, yearly let us turn to thee. Blessed Jesus, early let us turn to thee. Early let us seek thy favor. Early let us do thy will. Blessed Lord and only Savior, with thy love our bosoms fill. Blessed Jesus, thou hast love us still. Blessed Jesus, thou hast love us still.
Stan and Sam to receive the offering this morning, please. One reminder, next Sunday is the last Sunday of the month. We'll be having the Lord's table after the morning service and no afternoon service with a great big awesome dinner. So let us pray. Father, again we approach in the name of Jesus Christ, our great Savior, our blessed Jesus. You have loved us with an everlasting love. This we cannot begin to comprehend. For we were altogether unlovely, unlovable, ungodly, and unclean. Yet you in your grace and mercy chose out of this fallen race of ruined humanity a number which no man can number to show mercy and grace to. Give them the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ, and with him freely give him all things. Let us return now that which belongs to you with hearts full of thanksgiving and praise that you counted us in that great number and that you made us complete in him. We bless your name in Christ's name. Amen. I invite your attention back to Colossians chapter 3. In the verses that I read to you this morning, the first part of the first verse said, "Look to Christ." And after the great number of admonitions that were given, the last part of verse 13 says, "As even as Christ did it, forgave you, so also do ye." So the bookends of everything that's said in between these two things has to do with looking to and setting our affection on things above and not on things of the earth. Paul, in this context of writing Colossians, it was one of the books that he wrote that is a scathing report against law and grace, mixing the law with grace. And that's done. We are kept from being done by looking only to the Lord Jesus Christ. He has established that the things of the earth are to be mortified. He said, "Mortify the deeds which are upon the earth." And we're to do it not by the power of the flesh, because the flesh is on the earth. The flesh is below. It's not above. We're to do it through the Spirit of setting our affection on things above and not things of the earth. In these verses, he addresses what it means to put on the new man. In verses 12 and 13, "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. I admit that the impetus for this message has been on my mind for a couple of weeks as I've been reading some Facebook posts by brothers in Christ who I know to be strong grace believers and preachers who are picking one element of doctrine and or another element of doctrine and are starting to argue and fight within one another. And it's the saddest thing I've ever seen. I can remember some 45 years ago that if you found another grace believer, you found the finest thing there was. And what you talked about was what the Lord had done and accomplished for you in salvation. And even though you might differ on one point of one element of doctrine or another, that was not the issue. If you trusted the merits of Christ alone for your salvation and you preached that clearly, you were my close friend and my brother. As I read these words in Colossians about forgiving, forbearing, they were playing on my mind because of some of the things I was seeing. The attributes that are declared in this passage account the effect of looking to Christ and not the things of the earth. That's made clear in the very first passage. Don't look at things on earth. Don't spend your time here with a horizontal view. Look to Christ. Look above. Look above. Terms such as put on suggest to the natural mind an effort in the flesh, but that's not an effort in the flesh. The only way to avoid such thing is to remember what Paul is still that Paul is still addressing our affection, or that which we mind, or that which we pay attention to. He's not speaking only of things that we do, but of the invisible things of our life, because our life itself is hid. It's hid. Just as he said, therefore, mortify in verse 5, teaching that this mortification is a product of looking to Christ in heaven and not to the things of the earth. So in verse 12, having established that Christ is all, we are told, therefore, to put on these things. Another principal aspect of this is declared to the word as. This word states that this is the manner of life of the believer, the elect. This is the manner of his life, the tenor of his life. Now we know he may go to the right or to the left, sometimes backwards, sometimes he'll get static and stand still. But like the great river Mississippi that begins in Wisconsin, sometimes it goes west, sometimes it goes east, but the tenor of it is always south. Because it's going to end up in the Gulf of Mexico. And the tenor of a child's life is what he means when he says, as the elect of God. As the elect of God. This word states that this is the manner of life of the believer, the elect, those who were chosen in Christ before the world began. And that election was by pure and free and sovereign grace. In its application, so that the praise for it would be for the glory of God's grace, according to Ephesians chapter 1. And part of the paradox of this life is that the believer is always seeking to realize more fully what he knows is fully revealed in Christ. To know what is his already. What Paul said, to enter into the grace wherein we stand. We stand in it, and we desire to enter into it. As these things are inward attributes born of an outward, and at the same time are an outward acts born of an inward principle of the Spirit. None of these things is put on by giving our attention to them. That's the weird thing. You don't put on mercies and beloved bowels and kindness by paying attention or trying to figure out kindness or mercy. You look to Christ. You trust Him. These are examples born of looking at the exemplar for these things, the Lord Jesus Christ. They are predestinated fruit of union with the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, abide ye in the vine. I'm the vine, and ye are the branches. Without me, you can't do anything. You can do nothing without me. It says, you abide in me, And I and you, you do bring forth fruit unto God. We are his workmanship, he said, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had foreordained that we should walk in them. Is there any possibility that the child of God will not walk in good works? It's ordained. You say, well, what are they? Don't. That's the wrong look. That's the wrong place to look. Like looking at kindness and mercy to find kindness and mercy will never work. You look to Christ. That's putting on these things. Why? Because he is the exemplar of all these things. He is the one who did all these things. Set your affection on things above and not on things of the earth. The manner in which Paul personally admonishes them to be as the elect assures that they are indeed the elect. They are the elect. He addresses them as holy and beloved. These are terms applied to the elect. This assures us of two things. First, it teaches us that what they do does not make them what they are, but what they are causes them to do what they do. They don't do what they do to be holy. They do what they do because they are holy. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God. Secondly, what they are is entirely the work of the triune Godhead. They are holy, sanctified, righteous, show mercy in all these things because it's God working them then in them to do of his good pleasure. They're accepted in the beloved to the praise of the glory of his grace, not the praise of the glory of their ability and works. And this wonderful list of things that become the elect, or another way to express the truth that is declared in verses 1 through 4, of setting your affections on things above. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another, if any have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. It's an expression of Christ in the believer is in Christ. Since you are in Christ, set your affection on things above. They are part of that great law or word written in the heart and mind of those who come to Christ, which is part of that new covenant spoken first in Jeremiah 31 and then in Hebrews chapter 10. Those for whom Christ died by his one sacrifice is perfecting forever according to Hebrews chapter 10. And each of these things is viewed rightly. If each of these things is viewed rightly, they first and foremost inform us of the attributes of Jesus Christ. If we look at these first off, we see them in Christ. See them realized and fully realized in Christ. He truly and solely only possesses these things without fault and without sin as attributes that are intrinsic to his person. That's why it says, forgive as Christ did and set your affections on him. That's the reason for it. With a believer, these things are derived. They're not natural to us. They're gifts of the Spirit of God. But this in no way diminishes the fact that they are likewise possessed by every believer. In both cases, these inward principles are manifest in outward acts. Love not in word only, but in deed. And in truth, John says in 1 John chapter 3. Although the believer is to exhibit these attributes to all men without regard as to their race, creed, or former state, says in verse 11, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, Christ is all and in all. And in all. Our Lord's declaration of these attributes is in no way generic. The context is specific to the brethren. These are ample instances in Scripture that those who openly oppose the cross are to be left alone, to be marked out, avoided, and even refused the cardinal Christian principle of hospitality. Don't let them come into your house if they don't abide in the doctrine of Christ, it says. These principles possessed and exhibited by believers are specific to the brethren because it is to the brethren that our Lord exhibited these attributes in the salvation of their souls. That's who got what he did. And so we ought to act accordingly toward our brethren. Though the believer can save the soul of no one, if these attributes are truly considered, their very design is to save or deliver the brethren from distress, or to relieve them of blame, to forgive them. Bowels of mercies speaks of compassion, of empathizing and sympathizing spirit, and such proposes a need for mercy, presupposes that. Mercies are here plural because they are the category that is illuminated. Everything that follows mercies is in somehow a definition of what mercies are. And are all the acts of compassion, kindness. My mother used to tell me, and I've tried to live by this, and I still hear a voice in my head. She's gone on to glory now. She said, it don't cost anything to be kind. Don't cost anything to be kind. And that's true, to be kind to someone. Not to be ugly and mean. Kindness is mercy exercised in a benevolent spirit. Humbleness of mind is thinking low of yourself while highly esteeming your brother. Paul said that to the Philippian church back in Philippians chapter 2 and equated it to something very, very important. In Philippians chapter 2, he said, if there be in therefore any consolation in Christ, that's being consoled or comforted in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit or bowels of mercies, which he just spoke of here in Ephesians chapter, or rather Colossians chapter 3, he said, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. Now, I wonder what that is. We'll find out if we read on. He says, let nothing be done through strife. You remember in Isaiah chapter 58, our Lord's condemnation of Israel was that they fasted for strife. They did what they did, trying to be holy, but they did it to make people upset and mad and question themselves. Or vain glory. What's vain glory? Empty glory. Truly not glory at all. Vain glory. Let nothing be done that way, but rather in lowliness of mind. That's down looking. That's what that word means. Down looking in your mind. In towards your mind. Let each esteem others better than themselves. You say, that's a tall order, folks. That's a tall order, but that's what he said. That this mind, being of one mind and one accord. And he's not talking about the world in general, though these can apply to how you deal with people every day. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Now, he doesn't say don't look to your own things. He said, but also, while you're looking at your own thing, make sure you look at the things of others also. Now we find out where this mind originated, where the source of this mind is, of which mind actually did this perfectly. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Now, how does that apply to our brethren? We're like them, and we're equal with them. We're not better than them, nor are they better than us, but we're to esteem them better than us. He made himself of no reputation. He took the lowest seat in the house. He took upon him the form of a servant to serve people, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion of man, he humbled himself and became obedient even to the death of the cross. He died for those he loved. And how does God, how does Paul, or rather John, describe our love for our brethren? He said, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, that he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our life for the brethren if we love them." This is the mind that was in Christ Jesus. It's not talking about this mind that was in Paul. He said, this mind that I'm talking about, this is the mind of Christ. And it says in Scripture, we have the mind of Christ. Meekness is the absence of jealousy and envy and the true enjoyment of a brother or sister's happiness and success. To enjoy what they have. Meekness. Our Lord was meek. He said that. He said, to those who labor and heavy laden, come unto him and he'll give them rest. For he's meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. Be meek. Forbearing one another. What does that mean? That's akin to long-suffering. Long-suffering is patiently bearing the faults, foibles, and weakness of others, considering first the weakness of your own vessel. When we have difficulty accepting someone's weakness, it's because we are weak and we are afraid to admit it. Forbearing one another is akin to long-suffering in that it bears up under the burdens of another, but also suggests that the believer does not return evil with evil or seek revenge for wrongs that are done to his or his person. The last phrase of verse 13 in our text speaks to the heart of true forgiveness. If any man have a quarrel against any, it doesn't say if someone has a quarrel against you. It says if you're mad at somebody, you have a quarrel against somebody, well, what are you supposed to do? Forgive them. Wait a minute. We're to forgive them? Yeah. Did God have a quarrel against us? Were we opposed to him? Were we rebels against him? Did we hate him? And what did he do? He forgave us. He forgave us. Even as Christ has forgiven you. There is no instance where forgiveness is not to be rendered. And that's hard. But this is the mind of Christ, and this is what the elect do. And the language is clear. Forgiveness here does not consider someone to be wrong, or to have wronged you, but addresses your anger against a brother, whether founded or not. The believer is to forgive, period, end of sentence, enough said. This does not address the fact that one forgiven might ever get wind of the fact that he's been forgiven. I know probably us, we'd like to go up and say, well, I forgave you, and they'd probably slap you upside the head and say, what'd you forgive me for? I didn't do anything. Forgive them. They may never know. We are to forbear and forgive one another. We are to do so because we have been forgiven of all our sins. We are to do so in the same manner which we've been forgiven, as Christ has forgiven you. How did he? Freely, fully, forever. That's how he forgives. We are forgiven having never sought forgiveness. Did we seek forgiveness? No, we were forgiven on the cross of Christ before we was ever born. We were forgiven before we knew about it. We didn't know we had been forgiven until someone preached the gospel to us and told us that we had been forgiven, had been redeemed. We are forgiven though we may not even seek it now. Because God has been just in accepting us in Jesus Christ. And we must forgive all things until we're able to find something for which Christ has not forgiven us. We can find something for Christ that's not forgiven us, and we don't have to forgive that either. What has he forgiven us? All things. That's what Paul said in Acts 13. You have forgiveness through this man, which you can't get under the law. Which ain't in the law. Forgiveness of all things. All things. What have I been forgiven of? Everything I do, have done, will do, and am. That's what I've been forgiven of. So if you mess up or I mess up or I'm mad at you, what should I do? I should consider you in Christ and not dig up what has been forgiven. We must forgive all things as Christ has forgiven us. And until that occurs, if there's ever a time when there's a sin that Christ did not forgive, until that time occurs, there is no exception to this rule. This is what the elect of God do. Flat out, this is what they do. I think sometimes, well, maybe I'm not elect at all. I'm such a sinner. But I'll tell you when I do this, when I see Christ, and I look to Him and see all that He paid for me. Some things are vital to our understanding. First, these attributes are personal as the elect of God. That is to say, we can require them of no one but ourselves. This is what the elect of God do. You may not look at a brother and judge him because you feel he is not expressing Christian love and kindness towards you. You can't do that. It's not about him. It doesn't say anything about your brother doing anything. If you're one of the elect of God, this is what you do. You say, well, what? He says he's elect. He's supposed to. That's none of your business. That's between him and God. The admonition has nothing to do second with our brethren. Secondly, these acts are acts of the will. They are. Something you're going to have to make yourself do. In other words, you're going to have to will to look to Christ, to look to Him, knowing that that's the only hope you have of being like you ought to be. Looking to Him, not looking to yourself. These are acts of the will. We must do these things in spite, and we will do these things in spite of circumstance and without exception. We may feel like, we may not feel like forgiving someone. That is not their problem, that's our problem. Finally, some feel that this makes the believer a doormat. Always forgiving and never standing up and never fighting. I expect, if I know you and you know me, that sooner or later we're going to stand up and fight anyway. We shouldn't, but we will. Finally, some feel that this makes the believer a doormat. Honestly, if you're honesty, if you have honesty about your own heart, a doormat would seem like an impossible and lofty goal if you had honesty about your own heart. If you feel like a doormat, then make sure the word on the doormat says, welcome. You're forgiven here. You're forgiven here. This is what the elect of God do. Oh, for grace. Oh, for grace to do these things. Lord, let me look to Christ and not to myself. Let me see Him who's sitting at the right hand of the Father. Let me look to Him in whom my life is hid. And put on bowels of mercy and kindness, long-suffering, and forgiveness. In Christ's name, amen. All right.